Many thanks for choosing us. The Ashanti Regional Minister Simon Osemensa says he cannot heed to demands for an apology by staff of ECG for doing his job. Workers of the Electricity Company of Ghana in the Ashanti region said they have been forced to abandon the revenue mobilization exercise for fear of their lives. They say they are afraid the conduct of the Ashanti Regional Minister Simon Osemensa, who ordered the arrest of the general manager for Ashanti East for failing to connect Kumasi Technical University, could embolden members of the public to attack the staff. Chairman of the Senior Staff Association of ECG Ashanti West, John Mensah, tells Joy News the action of the regional minister has affected the performance of the workers.
The workers are in red as they hoist red flags in protest of the arrest of the Ashanti East general manager for failing to heed calls to reconnect power to Kumasi Technical University. The workers say they have been infuriated by the conduct of the Ashanti Regional Minister, Simon Osemensa, who also doubles as chairman of the Regional Security Council, RESEC. They have been demanding an unqualified apology from the Regional Minister and also withdrawing the police case. Chairman of the Senior Staff Association of ECG Ashanti West, John Mensah, says the workers are afraid of their lives as a result of the conduct of the Ashanti Regional Minister.
We are still going on the revenue mobilization exercise. Our people are there. They are disconnecting, they are collecting revenue. So if the minister can call the arrest of a general manager for a region, then the staff are not safe. The staff who are doing the revenue mobilization in order to get money to fuel the plant and then to take us out of the energy crisis. And you, the minister, you are still pushing, you are encouraging that they shouldn't pay their bill. Then I think that one is unfortunate. So that is why we are saying that you should withdraw the case from the police station so that the staff have the confidence to visit the houses or the premises and collect the revenue. It's a form of threat. It's a form of threat to our members.
On Monday, the National Executive Council of the ECG Workers Union barred all four regional managers of the company in the Ashanti region, who are automatic members of the Ashanti Regional Security Council, from attending meetings called by the regional minister. Vice Chairman of the Senior Staff Association, Bismarck Adoma, tells Joy News the workers have been infuriated by the regional minister, who has been defending his action on radio.
You only heard me on radio defending what he did. It makes us uncomfortable. Somebody doing his genuine work and causing his arrest, and you are on radio defending it. So it makes us very, very uncomfortable.
Meanwhile, the workers warned their next line of action could be dire if the regional minister to apologize or withdraw the case against the general manager. Yusuf Osmanu Abdullahi is the chairman of the Senior Workers Union, Ashanti East.
We are not deterred. Even if his house is owing, it should be prepared. We are coming on you. Yes. If you are owing, you are a customer, you need to pay. That's all. If he's not owing, we don't have problem with him. But if he's owing, we are coming on him, so you should be prepared. I told you, this is the first step, and we have a series of, and we've got to the bridge, we'll cross it. The vulnerable is owing and we are disconnecting. How much more the regional minister? It's better for him, or someone should tell him to go and withdraw the case and apologize to the entire ECG fraternity. The workers' front are not happy with his actions.
From Kumasi, for Joy News, Oyemintiria reporting.
The Ashanti Regional Minister is this afternoon justifying his decision to lodge a complaint to the police against the management of ECG for breach of agreement in a payment schedule with the Kumasi Technical University. According to him, through his office, the company reached an agreement with the university to defray their debt within an agreed time frame, though the university kept to the agreed schedule. The ECG disconnected the university, claiming the action was taken by a national task force. The police invitation of engineer Makasmeni Riafe to write a statement at the police station over the disconnection has sparked agitation among staff of the company. But Mr. Osemensa says the campus of the technical university was disconnected, though the facility uses prepaid meters.
What I want to tell you that I asked the police to invite engineer Mark Asmeni Riafi on security grounds. because of the happenings in the electricity power sector in the region. And the fact that a task force can always come from outside to disconnect without the proper information. What is ironical is that they tell me they are not under me. And for that matter, I cannot tell them what to do. But they want to tell me how I have to execute my security responsibilities as enshrined in the Security and Intelligence Agencies Act of 2020 at 10:30. They want to tell me. But they say I cannot tell them what to do. And I want to also tell them what they stated in their publication, I think on the 18th of April 2024, that their managers are members of the Regional Security Council is palpable false. They are not members of the Regional Security Council. The Regional Security Council invited them to come and brief us on the adequacy or otherwise of security measures put in place at the various strategic installations of the Electricity Company of Ghana in the Ashanti region. And they are not members. And we do every institution where we find security risk. You can find out from all the vice chancellors, both private and public universities, we meet them every quarter to discuss the security issues.
Let's stay a bit more with power, because President Akufo-Addo has reiterated his government's commitment in investing in the country's power sector. He says several policies and measures have been outlined to incentivize green investment and foster a culture of energy efficiency. President Akufo-Addo made the statement at the commissioning of 15 peak megawatt solar power plant at Kalia in the Upper West region. Joining us is Upper West regional correspondent Rafiq Salam Hasmo.
President Akufo-Addo noted that the commissioning of the 15 megawatt solar power project at Keleu is not just about providing electricity, but represented a fundamental shift towards sustainable development. He averred that renewable energy sources such as solar power does not only reduce the country's reliance on fossil fuel, but also help reduce the effect on climate change as well.
By investing in renewable energy infrastructure, we're securing a reliable source of electricity and creating new opportunities for economic growth and job creation. This plant will not only power homes and businesses, but also serve as a catalyst for development in the Upper West region, attracting investment and spurring innovation. To this end, government is implementing a series of policies and measures to incentivize green investments, foster a culture of energy efficiency, and prioritize the development of solar, wind, and hydroelectric power projects as key strategies for the growth of the energy sector in the country. Vision, however, is not only to be energy self-sufficient, but also to set the stage for Ghana to emerge as an eco-friendly country in the region, inspiring neighboring countries to follow suit in their pursuit of a greener, more energy technology-centered future.
President Akufo-Addo spoke of the benefits that the people in the region and the country at large will derive from the commissioning of the solar power plant.
From this plant, adding 15 megawatts of power to the national electricity grid will also improve the quality of power supply in the Upper West region, reduce national carbon emissions by displacing energy that gas-fired thermal plants would otherwise have generated. I'm told that that is estimated at 8,117 tons. We also promote practical studies in the development of solar power the technical universities in the northern part of the country. As I indicated 2 years ago, government is continuously investing in the electricity transmission network to enable the country to evacuate more reliable renewable energy through the national grid to support the extension of electricity to all parts of the country.
Deputy Minister for Energy, Herbert Kapa, assured Ghanaians of the plans put in place by President Akufo-Addo to ensuring that the power outages in the country are a thing of the past.
His Excellency the President has ensured, led all of us in the power sector to ensure that we are putting arrangements in place to procure additional fuel to run all our thermal plants and power producing plants at full capacity. And His Excellency the President has also led realignment of operational and technical arrangements in the entire power sector value chain, which is the reason I'm able to assure the people of Ghana that in the next few days, the power challenges that we are seeing under the leadership of His Excellency the President, it will be a thing of the past.
The project was funded by the German Development Bank, KfW, at 60 million euros, with counterpart funding from the Volta River Authority, VRA, pegged at 8.2 million euros. Kofi Tutu Ajare is the board chair of Volta River Authority.
As we are confirming our commitment to ensure the provision of clean and reliable and sustainable power, the completion of this plant today has enormous benefits to the Kaleo community and, by extension, the northern parts of the country. I think it is true to say that with this plant up and running, this community will be the first community in Ghana, including the Wai area, to run solely on power, on solar power, on good days.
There were representatives from the Spanish, German embassies and the European Union at the function. Our Power Regional Minister, Stephen Yakubu, disclosed that the project is of enormous importance to the people, starting from the construction stage, which has employed several people in the region.
During its construction phase, the project provided employment opportunities for several individuals, with 95% hailing from nearby communities. Additionally, the project's corporate social responsibility initiatives, including the rehabilitation of the Kaleo DA Primary School, improvement of road infrastructure, and the potential for tourism development, exemplify our commitment to holistic development and community empowerment.
The Kaleo solar power plant will increase Ghana and VRA capacity to 50 megawatts. It will also diversify the energy portfolio by adding more renewable energy to its fold. Reporting for Joy News, Rafik Salam, Kaleo.
Well, board chair of the Electricity Company of Ghana, Herbert Kapa, has since apologized to Ghanaians for the intermittent power cuts. The apology was posted on his Facebook page, and it reads, "We are fully confident that the measures being put in place should resolve the service interruptions. We empathize with all consumers and apologize unreservedly for the effects of the outages on our daily lives." Medical scientist at the University of Ghana, Dr. Kwame Asasanti, says the NDC running mate, Professor Jenano Pokwajiman, hailing from the central region alone, will not inure to increased votes for the NDC. Professor Jenano Pokwajiman, at outdooring yesterday, vowed the next NDC administration will prosecute corrupt government officials. She made the promise at outdooring at the professional University of Professional Studies, Accra. She also took a swipe at government over what she believes is mismanagement of the economy. My colleague James Aveji has more.
draping the symbolic red, white, green and black colors of the umbrella, hundreds of NDC sympathizers and party bigwigs gather here at the UPSC Auditorium in Accra to witness the outdooring of Professor Jenana Opokuagyeman as running mate to John Dramani Mahama.
Professor Jenana Opokuagyeman.
Chairman of the party, Johnson Asedu Nkecha, set the tone for the night by bursting the bubbles of those anxiously waiting for appointment in the next NDC government.
Some people are not only fighting about the positions they will occupy. They are telling all others that they will be the kingmakers and they will be making their appointment. If we are not careful, this will dampen the enthusiasm and the spirit of our followers.
Rolling out her vision to party faithfuls and Ghanaians, Professor Jenana Opokuagyeman did not shy away from taking a swipe at government.
I don't know about you, but the image I get looking at that hole is a trench in utter shock that anyone could believe it was intended as a thanksgiving gift to the almighty, invisible, God only wise. Such a report will not find COVID money shared for partisan political campaign purposes. I will not, in the advancement of self-serving ambition, declare to the whole world that I was only the driver's mate.
So what will her government offer Ghanaians?
The report will highlight new roads, harbors, railway lines, not what we've seen of late, Ayalolo buses. You will find the lack of intimidation of opposing voices. You will find serious investment and practice to enable a digitized economy and society. The report will go on to point at housing projects, including the famous Saglami housing complex, and even those that somebody has happily raised to make room for a presumed.
Knowing the role Vice President Dr. Mahmood Bawumia is playing as head of the economic management team and lead on government digitization agenda, and what may be expected of the next vice president, former President John Dramani Mahama explains what the exact job description of his vice president will be.
She has great insights into human resource management, empowerment and social development. And under my administration, she will have oversight, among others, of the education sector, the health sector, gender and social protection.
Professor Jenana Opokuagyeman says the next NDC administration would deal with all corrupt government officials.
John and I have agreed that whoever has participated in the plunder of the state must be held accountable. And my friends, this is not a threat. It is a promise.
As to whether this second John and Jane ticket will deliver victory for the NDC camp December 7, 2024, the race has just begun. James Savage, Joy News.
The NDC and other analysts have stricken a correlation between the choosing of the professor as running mate and increased votes for the party in the central region. But senior political science lecturer at the Department of Political Science at the University of Ghana, Dr. Asasanti, says there are a lot more factors that lead to a party winning votes, and not merely because they hail from a region.
There are various factors that influence voter choices. One is the economy, infrastructure development, the fight against corruption, rule of law, unemployment, and a host of them, in addition to what? Energy and energy crisis. How you are going to fix this? So, of course, I am not oblivious of the fact that the personality of what the president or the running mate or the flag bearer is also critical. Some people look at these things. But beyond that, people look at even constituency-specific issues. If there's a place where they are looking for market for women to what apply their vocation, and they don't find that, they don't care who's about, who is the running mate or the leader of the party. So that argument that what did she bring the last time, for me, is a WAP argument. The whole analysis is wrong. There are so many factors. But of course, if you have anybody who is going to be in the seat as what, a running mate, you should have certain qualities that will really allow people to what, follow her. People will support her. That will also make it attractive to people to follow. But that person alone cannot be the factor that influenced voter choice. So all the analysis you see in the media are basically wrong. Look at this woman. It comes from so many constituents, apart from her natural constituency of the central region, specifically where she comes from in a particular constituency. She also appeals to the gender groups, academics, women, by and large, and the general society. Of course, the NDC as a party. So all these things are things that are going to support her to be able to add to the ticket and make the ticket meaningful.
Election Headquarters is brought to you by Petrosol, your clean fuel in full quantity, Chartered Institute of Management Accountants, the American Institute of Certified Public Accountants, together as the Association of International Certified Professional Accountants, and German Ozone Medical Center, Alternative Therapy, Dental Wellness, and Beauty. Election Headquarters for uninformed electorates. Let's go on to other stories. Investigators on the GRE-SML deal are demanding the publication of the full audit report from KPMG. President Akufo-Addo has given the Ghana Revenue Authority the go-ahead to continue the audit contract of the downstream petroleum sector with Strategic Mobilization Limited after receiving the report from KPMG. According to him, the deal is crucial in saving the country's resources. But the fourth estate, which exposed the anomalies in the contract, won the full report published. Here's lead investigator Manasseh Azoriawene.
It's commendable that the president decided to look into it, and certain actions have been taken. It is important to stress that the component of the contract that has been cancelled is the biggest component in terms of the revenue we are saving. The upstream, petroleum, and also the mining sector components of the contract, per our production figures as a country, we were going to pay about $90 million to KPMG every single year. So that angle has been, or component has been cancelled. So it is significant savings, in addition to some price verification aspect that has also been cancelled. Now, the part that has been kept is the downstream petroleum contract. And that one, the president based his decision to keep the contract on the basis that SML is checking under reporting and under declaration. If you watch our documentary, we put this question to SML and asked whether they were doing under reporting, or they were checking under the reporting or under declaration. The company said they were doing none of those services.
What's on their website?
It was on their website, and after we confronted them, they deleted that information from their website. The GRE, which awarded the contract to SML, also told us that SML did not and does not check under reporting or under declaration. The most disturbing part of that contract is the measurement that SML's meters claim to be taken. Those measurements are not used for tax purposes by even the GRE, which contracted them. We asked the SML engineers which of the recordings, you know, the NPA has a system called the ERDMS that is connected to the customs system, the ICOMS. And it is the figures that go through the NPA system that are used for tax purposes. And SML's engineers explained that their meters, the SML meters, are non-intrusive. They are placed on the pipelines, but the meters at the depots that go through the MPA system that is used by customs, they take more accurate recording because they are intrusive. They take the exact measurement of petroleum product that goes through them. So the very basis for keeping that contract that SML is checking under declaration, under reporting, the company has said on record, and it is honored in our documentary, on camera, that we don't do those services.
So on what basis then will the presidency be acting by saying that that contract should rather go on when KPMG, and as we've watched in your documentary, have clearly alluded to the fact that they are not doing that work, and in fact have put SML, I should say, and have in fact gone ahead to take down that aspect from their website. But here we see in the president's directives that that contract must stay. So what might be contributing to that, especially when KPMG is simply telling you don't have that? Do you see that maybe KPMG has been shown contracts, probably that have been signed, for which reason the president now says that should go on?
Well, I would be very measured in perhaps attacking KPMG until I see the KPMG report. Because I did a JIDA investigation. The president issued some directives on the JIDA report. But when the report itself was published, it was worse than what the presidency issued. This was in 2013. So with this experience, I'm a bit measured. But what we can say is that, look, it is good news to the Republic of Ghana that the upstream petroleum contract and the gold mining contracts are off the table.
Well, the Strategic Mobilization Limited has in the last few hours issued a response to the controversy. Excerpts of that response reads, SML is in receipt of the press release issued by the Office of the President's Director of Communication. The press release accepts the findings and recommendations of the KPMG report on the performance-driven relationship between GRA and SML. After much consideration, SML would like to put the following statements on record. One, it says KPMG reports debunks the false claim of $100 million paid to SML and refuse a 10-year contract claim made by Manasseh Azuriawuni and the Fourth Estate. And so that's what they describe as allegations of impropriety. However, SML likes to point out that KPMG's finding, which suggests that fees estimated to be paid under the 5-year consolidated contract average but 1 billion Ghana cedis per year, is false. To the need for SML services affirmed, KPMG confirmed the importance of the upstream and minerals agreement. SML further observed that a comprehensive needs assessment in those sectors was previously conducted, which supports KPMG's findings that revenue assurance audit services are needed in that sector. The need, it talks about the need for SML services affirmed. And it says KPMG confirmed the importance of the upstream and minerals agreement. The needs assessment criteria, it says the SML disagrees with the findings that the need assessment was not done before SML commenced operations. And it talks about the below par delivery on contract, explaining SML rejects KPMG's assertions that it partially delivered on several requirements regarding the transaction audit service agreement. And regarding the transaction audit services, SML delivered fully on its obligations as outlined in the contract. You can read more of that response on myjoyonline.com. Now, some residents of a coastal community near Koligono here in Accra are calling on authorities to deal with the indiscriminate dumping of filth into drainage systems in parts of the of Accra. They say they are bearing the direct brunt of the act, which has resulted in the heavy pollution of the ocean and beach there. Some fishermen in the community also say they now catch plastics instead of fish. Maxwell Agbagba was there and now reports for our filth exhibition series. I just like to keep Ghana clean.
Welcome to the Odo drainage system, which runs through the capital, Accra. Here, trash reigns supreme.
This drainage system is responsible for carrying wastewater from different parts of the country directly into the ocean. But now, it has additional roles, carrying plastics and trash.
The Kwale Lagoon itself will take a longer time because that's where we have more composition of material, which needs to take a longer time, maybe about a year or two to finish. We're going to have recreational facilities. That is the sea outflow. So along we have recreational facilities, other infrastructure we can have.
Flashback to 2019, where officials proudly showcased plans to transform the Odo Drain into a recreational paradise, complete with yachts and cruise boats gliding through its waters. Fast forward 5 years, and the only thing cruising are more plastic bags. Those who suffer the effects are residents living around the coastal areas close to the Odo Drain where it enters the ocean. I'm in one of the communities near Jamestown, and here I've met one of the residents who is a fisherman. John Yaku no longer goes for fishing expedition but plastic expeditions, as his nets catch more plastics than fish. He may soon change his fishing rod into a plastic scoop because all the water bodies around him are also heavily polluted with plastics. He says the plastics are destroying our outboard motors. Sometimes they get entangled with it. Previously, we used to do communal labor before the onset of the rains.
Let's take a break on Joy News today. We'll be back with business.
Good afternoon to you. Warm welcome to the business segment on Joy News today with me, Pius Kojobaka. The National Information Technology Agency says there is the need for a deliberate approach to curb cyber threats. According to the Director General of the agency, Richard Otrio-Fosu, the agency is working with other key stakeholders within the information technology space to aid in Ghana's digitalization drive to support other sectors of the economy. He was speaking at the signing of an event for an antivirus service for the government.
The official signing and partnership arrangement was between NITA, Smart Infranco, and Trend Micro, a global antivirus service provider. Richard Fosu called on companies in the ICT space to invest in research.
And as a nation, we need to take deliberate steps to properly profile and ensure that we have comprehensive mitigation measures to protect the national business for continuity planning. One of such risk factors that we encounter is cyber threat. And we hope that this partnership arrangement that we've entered into will actually help us in protecting us.
Director General of the Cyber Security Authority, Albert Ntibuesiaku, stressed the need for more collaboration within the space.
I think the idea of the collaboration between NITA, operational technical partner, and also Trend Micro is not just the first initiative being done here to protect government networks. There's assistance of the government sector, SOC, which is protecting that. But I think that is just one layer of what is expected to be deployed across government networks.
Chief Executive Officer for Smart Franco, Hakirit Singh, said Ghana's digitalization agenda will be robust if measures are put in place to protect data.
Protecting the infrastructure is key in the today's environment where we are. And that gives the trust for people who want to do business, transact services on digital platforms, and that is the key for a nation to have a vision to become digital. Yeah. And the security, as I said, has been paramount, and we have been putting a lot of solutions of safeguarding all of the public infrastructure in the data centers and public agencies by putting together a DDoS infrastructure that we have set up.
The German Corporation, in collaboration with the Ghana TVET Service, has launched the Female Talents in Construction Project. The initiative is designed to equip young graduates, particularly females, with industry-required skills for employment in the construction sector. Team lead for the project, John Duty, said the project seeks to increase participation of women in the construction sector, which currently stands at 3%.
The Female Talent in Construction project, which was launched under the theme Bridging the Skills Gap to meet global standards, aims to meet growing demands for construction work and skilled construction workers. In all, 86 beneficiaries have been inducted into the project and will be trained in areas such as masonry, tiling, welding, and electricals. In an interview, team lead for the project, John Duty, said the project will increase the participation of women in the sector and create employable opportunities.
We have lots of females in high positions in the built environment. But believe me, if you go to construction site, we all see that. And you see them in white helmets. Most of them are males, right? So we want to change that narrative to have much more females in the construction center. So in the near future, when you go to any construction site, it's men and women working hand in hand to ensure that they cross-fertilize each other in terms of skills to improve on the construction subsector in Ghana.
The director of the Ghana TVET service, Juliana Nkrumah, said the project was timely and would provide women with the competences needed to excel in the sector.
A female talent in construction project, among others, many of TVET initiatives provide the catalyst for the realization of this agenda. TVET has become a government priority, and with the cooperation of industry stakeholders, many opportunities can be created for the youth of Ghana and private sector companies to drive growth and sustainability development. For the sustainability of this project, it is our hope that the various stakeholders will, by the end of the 2 months industrial training, which our trainees who undergo, they will employ them by the various organizations.
The participants will be awarded certificates on completion of the project.
And there'll be more business news at 1 p.m. on the marketplace with Daro Kwal. Mubarak is next with sports. It's time for sports on JM Today with me, Haruna Mubarak. Now, former Black Stars captain Osama Jan has indicated that he will deploy his resources and influence to help Ghana nurture talent in all sporting disciplines. According to him, this commitment stems from his vision of ensuring Ghana is well represented in all disciplines at multi-sport events. Jan was speaking at a media engagement in Ho during a regional touch relay of the All-African Games. Fred Kwame Asare has more.
The All Regional Games is a multi-sport competition put together to help unearth raw talent in 9 sporting disciplines. Teams will be constituted of athletes between the ages of 18 and 23 who would represent the 16 regions at the main event scheduled in November 2024. The teams would compete in football, athletics, volleyball, basketball, tennis, table tennis, boxing, e-sports, and arm wrestling. Former Black Stars captain Asamoah Gyan, who is spearheading the organizing of the games, said his team is envisioned to help unearth and nurture talent in all sporting disciplines.
Thinking through, I just decided to do something beyond football to help the next generation to also benefit, so that maybe there's some years to come, you won't see just a Ghanaian athlete participating in the Olympic Games, or two athletes participating in Olympic Games, maybe boxing, or one 100 meters runner or something, you know. So I just wanted Ghana to dominate all the sports disciplines. So I decided to do something beyond football. You know, we cannot afford to fail. And I don't see myself as a failure. So I also need all your support to make this thing happen. You know, we're trying to make this every year to make sure we keep people on their toes, so that we won't have that story that I was a best runner at school and then I end up being a waitress, you know, not achieving my dream. We don't want to see that. We just want to pass the baton to the next generation for them to achieve their dream.
The Dean of Municipal and District Chief Executives in the Volta region, James Etonam Fululu, entreated stakeholders in the sport fraternity to ensure the success of the games.
To the sports team, when somebody brings you an opportunity, it doesn't end there. It is up to you to help the region to achieve what it must achieve. Thankfully, they've put in all the measures. Let's allow the system to run. We want success. That is all we should focus on. If you have anybody you want to put on, let them go through the process. The regional minister asked me to tell you that you have his 100% support on this project. Whatever you need for this project to be successful, within his powers, he will make sure that it is done for you.
Fred Kwame Asari, Joy News, who...
Now to England, a Jurgen Klopp has apologized to Liverpool fans after their derby defeats to Everton, as he admitted his team need a crisis at Arsenal and Manchester City to have any hope of winning the title. Liverpool were beaten at Goodison Park for the first time in nearly 14 years. The defeat leaves the Reds 3 points behind leaders Arsenal, who have a superior goal difference with just 4 matches left to play.
Thoughts at all? Very disappointed, frustrated, obviously. Had now obviously a few interviews, and I would say we can sum up. It was not good enough. We played the game or let it happen. The game Everton wanted. I scored 2 goals from set pieces. The first one we defended somehow 3 times, but in the end we put it on the plate. So and I don't think Brathwaite scored that. He didn't even hit the ball properly, but the ball rolls over the line. So. After that, we had our best period, I would tell you, and we really put them under pressure. We created big chances, didn't score. That, obviously, going like that in halftime, each situation we missed gave Everton kind of momentum even more, and from us, took away from us. We never had it, but it didn't help. Yeah, and then second half, as I said, it was as well not good enough. Without the real pressure phase, I would say we had to the end of the first half. Then you concede the second goal. I think everybody who's with Everton saw that goal already 20 times or something like that. That's their routine. Everybody knows they put the ball there. And in the end, the players anyway completely free. So I didn't see it back, but I'm pretty sure that we could have defended that better. Then it's 2-0 atmosphere they hear. We played like we played. Obviously, it was not the most inspired performance of all times. I really feel for the people. I'm really sorry for that, obviously. That's how it is. People told me so often about the great record then before the derby, especially where you hear, but you never win here. and all these kind of things, but we never lost, and that feels really different. I really apologize for that. It's absolutely
showbiz, please stay.
We have to recover.